friends and fellow animal lovers, welcome to another new episode of the Story of My Pet podcast. I am your host, as always, Julie Marty Pearson, and I am happy to have you back for a new episode that is part two of my interview with Lori Kayla from SPCA International. We talked a lot about Patriot pets and dogs and cats that are rescued by military while on deployment and bringing them to the U.S. to be reunited with the servicemen and women who rescued them, and the really incredible stories that Lori shared in the last episode. So if you haven't heard that, go back an episode and please listen. This episode today, we're going to talk about the Apollo's aid program that SPCA International has. There's several parts to it that do different things, from helping cover moving costs for military either in the United States or abroad so that they're able to bring their pets with them. They have grant programs for that, as well as for helping to support them when there are vet bills or there's medical that the pets need. And the servicemen and women aren't able to cover, that program is able to help. But we also talk a lot about helping animals in war-torn areas. We specifically talk about some experience Lori has had with those programs, as well as what happened and continues to happen in Ukraine. And I think this is also a very timely episode considering what's currently happening in Israel and Palestine. Obviously, it's devastating to see and hear what's happening to the people in those places. But I also, knowing what I know, that there's also probably animals at risk and being hurt and dying in the areas, places where there is violence. So I think this information is even more important. I appreciate you all being here to listen. Remember, follow, rate, and review wherever you are listening to the podcast. Help spread the word so more people can see the podcast, listen, and learn about all the important programs that we talk about on the episodes. Now, listen to part two of my interview with Lori Kayla from SPCA International. Another program called Apollo's Aid. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, thank you for asking about that. That's a relatively new program, and it encompasses three different parts. One of them, it's called Apollo's Aid PCS, and that is for soldiers who are not necessarily going on deployment, but are being relocated with their families and their pets. And what we've seen over the years is that in U.S. bases and other bases, U.S. military bases that are around the world, we've seen that because it costs so much money to bring your dog or cat with you, and the military didn't help with any funding for animals at the time, that is shifting in January, I might say, that a lot of the dogs or cats ended up in shelters around the bases. And so we saw such an increase in numbers that we started a program where it's another grant-driven program for service members who are PCS and they can't afford the high cost of transporting their dogs or cats with them. So that's one part, one aspect of the program. Another one, which we just started this year, is called the Apollo's Aid Refugee portion of the program. And this was inspired after last year, SPCA International and a number of other organizations collectively came together to bring in 286 dogs and cats on a Russian military aircraft right before the Russian war started, from Afghanistan after NATO and the U.S. military pulled out in August of 2021. So what happened then was just, I think we're still looking back on this and still feel the effects, but one of the most devastating times in U.S. history and world history. And a lot of people lost their lives, a lot of animals lost their lives, and a lot were left behind. So we had an organization that we worked with that stayed there, stayed open and kept their doors open and rescued as many dogs and cats as they possibly could that were left behind. And we tried to get them out during the crisis, during the initial pullout of NATO and the U.S. military, but unfortunately it didn't come out. It didn't happen. And a lot of the dogs died because of it. They were brought to the airport and there was no way to get them out, and they were released onto the tarmac. And so we made it into our mission to save and bring home all those that we could, that we had access to. And it was a huge world effort, I would say. It's called Mission Possible. And so many people from around the world came together to hold hands to make this possible. And a lot of the dogs and cats belong to U.S. embassy workers or foreign embassy workers or refugee families that were able to flee Afghanistan and somehow get out. And there was one particular family, and her name, and I'm allowed to tell the name because there's many new stories about it. Her name is Fretchta Siddiqui. She lives in Vancouver, BC right now. And she had a dog named Lucky that she saved from the streets. It was getting beaten up by children. And she saved the dog. And she also saved a cat named Leo. And the night before our plane was about to leave, she dropped off her cat and dog, not knowing if she was ever going to see them again. And she had to go into hiding because the new government that came in, the Taliban, was after her family because she is a women's rights activist. And her father was a prominent figure in the community. And she lost some family members. And Lucky, the dog, she taught him how to open doors, unlock doors. And so they went from home to home all the time. And he would alert the family if the Taliban was coming. And they left. And this dog always found them. And so we knew that what we would do whatever we can to one day reunite them. And it took over a year because she was stuck in another country for a long while before she got her Canadian residency. And in October of last year, we got to reunite Lucky and Fretchta together. And it was absolutely overwhelming and so incredible. And so we thought there's going to be a lot of more people like this, especially with the Ukraine war happening.
Right.
And so we developed the refugee portion of this program, and we've actively been helping other refugee families as well, now in Sudan and in Ukraine. And the last aspect of it, which is not the last, it's a wonderful program as well. It's the medical portion of it. So we help with high costs for emergency situations, especially, or if there's cancer and it's something that could be helped and be open to the military and veterans. And if they can't afford it, it's another grant giving program where we help with up to 50% of the cost.
That's really wonderful, because I think that's a huge piece of the current overcrowding shelter problem is when people try everything they can, but they can't afford the pet, especially medical costs. And I'm sure that's even more difficult for veterans to have to deal with. That program makes a really important impact, not just for their family, but for not those animals not ending up in the shelter that are already overcrowded.
Yeah, or euthanized because they can't help them with their medical problem.
You talked to the refugee program sounds really important, critical. I actually had a friend of a friend on the podcast last year who she knew her locally because she had been a foreign exchange student here a few years ago. And she's in Ukraine. And she's in the middle of the war, and she spoke a lot about what her and her family were doing to not only protect their pets, but saving pets that had been left behind when people left or they were found injured from. There were points at which the war was literally in her town and she was finding dogs that had been shot and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I can imagine the importance of your refugee portion of that program, because obviously that's still ongoing, as well as other places too, that they need help because people can't do it. They have to save themselves and they can't always save their pets, and they're left behind and in situations where they're not cared for, they could be injured.
And I know probably for many listeners right now, people are thinking like, I would never leave my dog or cat or pet behind. And nobody wanted to do that.
Right.
And a lot of people who were evacuated thought that they can come back for their dogs or pets or other animals. And so we work with organizations on the ground. And if we're talking about Ukraine, we have partners there. We actually just partnered up with Worldwide Vets and the Street Dog Coalition. And we repurposed an old trailer unit to be a mobile veterinary clinic. And we're partially funding this mobile clinic for a year to go around and help all the dogs and cats and horses and cows that have been injured through the war. And a lot of the time too, or that ripple effect where they've found this dog and there's a microchip and they know that it has an owner and they can be brought to a shelter or whatnot, and we can find a way to bring them back together. But yeah, to be in a situation where you have maybe 10 minutes to not even 10 minutes, a few minutes to pack up all of your life's belongings and know that you can't bring your beloved pet with you is just catastrophic.
Yeah, it's something I can't even imagine. And we often want to blame people, and there are a lot of people to blame, unfortunately, in terms of animals that end up at shelters. But there are so many that we don't know the story of what the decision they had to come to, or in a situation like that, or even like what we've seen with the fire in Maui more recently, people literally had split seconds, minutes to make the decision of how to leave. And a lot of them were evacuated from their workplace. They couldn't even go home to get to their pets. Mm-hmm. And those are situations where we want to do anything we can to reunite that, but it obviously takes its own army to do that type of reunification. And it sounds like that's really what you all have built with the Apollo's Aid programs in various capacities.
Yeah, and the only way, thank you, the only way that we're able to do this, and that's what the mandate of SPC International is, to build relationships, trusting relationships with other people around the world. We're a very tiny team, even though we have the I acronym at the end, the international portion. But the way that we're able to do our work and help more people and help animals is by forming relationships and partnerships around the world. So we're all in it together.
And someone listening to this podcast is very inspired by one of the many programs doing incredible work that you've mentioned. And they say, what would make the most impact for them to get involved to help you? What would you say to them?
I would have to say, because we are a nonprofit, in order to do the work that we do, we need to continue to raise funds. And we have an amazing fundraising team who work around the clock to be able to continue to keep our programs alive. Donations, of course, they're always needed. If you can't donate, we know that we're coming into our own economic crisis right now. Sharing, like we talked about on social media, talking, being a voice, volunteering in your local shelters. Our Patriot Programs is often looking for flight volunteers, flight escorts for dogs and cats in certain parts of the world. But let me just put a little bit of an asterisk on that. These are parts of the world where you don't tell your parents about until you get home. So there's that. And it's just being a voice and being able to talk about it and share in an intelligent and caring way.
So important. So if you're listening and you're inspired by this, please share the podcast with other people so that they will listen too. And also be creating a blog post. So hopefully that will generate more traffic for people to read about it and want to learn more about your programs and the way that they can support.
Thank you. We've
talked a lot about SPCA International, and you talked a little bit about your own experience with animals in the beginning, but I know you currently have 3 rescue dogs that you've rescued from various places around the world. So I'm sure that everyone listening would love to hear a little bit about your own stories and the dogs that are in your life and important.
You've just asked me to speak upon my favorite topic in the world. I do have 3 dogs. They're all from different parts of the world. I would say that we generally don't adopt dogs and bring them back, or cats and bring them back, because we manage our own overpopulation in North America. I have 1 dog who's from a high kill shelter in California. So I call that not imposing on Canada, because we're neighbors.
And a lot of the animals in our high kill shelters do end up in Canada because you don't have the overpopulation issues we have, which is what's great when we have rescue partners who transport north for us. So I totally get that.
You mentioned Marley's Mutts, and we teamed up with Marley's Mutts through Pet Rescue Pilots. The beginning of COVID, we had people looking for rescue dogs, and we didn't have enough. So we had a program where we were bringing dogs and cats from high kill shelters in California, bringing them to Victoria, BC, where we had our partners here at Rainbow Dog Rescue Society, find them loving homes, and in Calgary as well. Yes, there is that need. Unfortunately, things have shifted post-COVID. Yes, I got my dog. That's Toddy. He's from California. And I have another dog. His name is Duffy. And see, I was working in Romania with our partners back in 2015 and with Dog Rescue Romania, and they have over 2,000 dogs in their care. And we were supporting their spay and neuter efforts and working with the local government to be able to change the ideologies about controlling the overpopulation. And my colleague and I were driving. It's a funny story. And we were driving, and I pulled over in the rental car at a gas station just to get some water. And somebody there was kicking a little puppy that was just shivering. And so we picked up the puppy. We spoke to the gas station attendant, and she said, take this away, or there was somebody's going to do something bad to it. And so we did. And then while we were getting the car ready in the field right behind the gas station, there was like a flash of white. And this dog barking and barking, which I'm sure everybody heard before earlier on the podcast, he's chasing a squirrel. He probably read our jackets, but he just jumped right into our car and he was bleeding out of his eyes. He was attacked by something. And he just looked and he said, let's go. So we brought him home. I brought both dogs home with me here and I was going to find both of them a home. I found the puppy at home, but I guess I found Ducky at home too. So
that's amazing. And it's always amazing to me how our pets find us.
Oh, yes.
The pets we're supposed to have find us, whatever that connection is. Sometimes it's just seeing a video of them on social media and I think that's my dog. Or they literally show up for us.
Absolutely. And that's how my third dog came to be. His name is Bojangles. And he's from the Afghanistan mission. And we built a temporary shelter at the South Terminal Airport in Vancouver, BC. And I was basically living there and not at the shelter, but I had both of my dogs in the office. And this one dog, big Anatolian Shepherd mix with a softest eyes in the world, kept looking by at the office at my two dogs sleeping. And then eventually he just rolled on his back and put his paw up at the window. And I'm like, oh, okay, come on in. And he came in. My dogs didn't even raise their heads. He went next to them, fell asleep. I'm like, okay. Then you chose me too.
I love that. Yeah, they really do choose us. My most recent, I have three cats right now, and she was one of six that I fostered in the fall. And there was something about her from the moment I brought those six home that she was just like, I see you. And she's now ours. She is our pumpkin. And I could have easily kept all of them. I bottle fed them for 6 weeks. So I was very connected to them and loved them. And in the end, I almost kept two. My husband's, come on. Luckily, at the time, there weren't a lot of kids. They all found amazing homes. But there's a connection that we make with the animals we're supposed to be with, who are supposed to be a part of our lives and we're supposed to be a part of their lives, no matter how long or how short that may be. Yeah. And I know even when I was working doing the offsite adoption event, there were dogs that we would take out multiple times because we were trying our hardest and I would be very connected to them. And it was very difficult to watch them get adopted and returned or not get adopted. And we try. Because you really just see the incredible soul that is within them. And so I'm sure that so much too, when you're actually in these other countries on the front line, seeing the animals being rescued, that must be also very difficult too, because you want to save them all and that doesn't always work, but you're making a big impact. So talk a little bit about what is maybe the hardest part for the work that you do to make people understand a little bit of what's going on in the world and how difficult the animal welfare arena really is.
Yeah, thank you. And I just want to say thank you to you for fostering. It's another aspect of how you can help too. And I didn't mention that before when you posed that question, is fostering. Fostering opens up another cage in an already overpopulated shelter. And we're in a crisis mode right now in North America. Well, I'm going to speak to one in the United States especially, but the euthanasia rate has dramatically increased for healthy dogs, for friendly dogs, for healthy cats and friendly cats. And it's absolutely horrendous what's happening right now. And so fostering saved more lives. It opens up another space to be able to bring another animal in. So touching upon that, to know, I think that's one question that I used to be asked when I first started at SBCA International is, how do you do it? How do you look at all these animals that need homes or that you need to look after or help, whether it's medical-wise or finding them a home or even vaccinating them, and you know that you can't save them all? And I think at the beginning, if you can find me curled up underneath my desk in a little ball, just wailing, because not to be able to help every single animal is still absolutely heartbreaking. What you push through, and you have to be able to, you can't stop, because I always say this, once you can never not know. And You save as many lives as you can. And that's why it's so important to keep spreading the awareness of what's happening in the world. I spoke a lot about what's happening external of the United States, but in our own backyard, this is happening. This, aside from all the cruelty and abandonment on the streets, and I know that you walk into a shelter, it must be absolutely heartbreaking to know that animal has been there over a certain amount of time, their fate is not a good one. And rescuing is the most rewarding thing that you can do, not for just for the animal, but for yourself as well. And one of the pieces of how you can do this rescue work is education, because I've been approached over the years that people want to go to breeders. And I know that there's a lot of reputable breeders, but at this time, I feel that until we can solve and manage the overpopulation crisis, we have to be able to manage the amount of animals coming in, because the animals coming in is the ratio going out to homes is dramatically different.
It is. It's unfortunately where I live in California and Kern County, it's awful and not getting any better, unfortunately. And every time I'm on social media, I see video after video of especially large dogs in shelters, sweet dogs, even young dogs, puppies, pregnant dogs, just over in need of foster, in need of rescue, adoption. And I know for myself, I actually had to take a step back after I had done adoption events for about 6 months, because it is overwhelming. Because every day you get two out and you show up and there's six kennels full with new ones. Or you hear, oh, we just got 30 in from another issue. It doesn't stop. But if we don't help, then it's just going to continue to get worse. And every animal we save makes a difference. And that's just what I've always had to tell myself. And it isn't easy, and compassion fatigue is real, and from every aspect, from volunteers, from the shelter staff, to the rescue staff, to the veterinarians, all of them, people working in nonprofit organizations like you, whether they're on the front lines or not, you see it day after day, and it doesn't end. But it can only get better with more people helping, with more education, and more people speaking out and saying, I can help just by sharing, just by volunteering one day a week, whatever it may be.
Absolutely. Or by fostering, like you said, because that is one of the key components. And I know I'm very familiar with what's going on in Kern County, and it's awful. And one of the things is that I know on social media, it works in the animal's favor and the overpopulation of that particular county or shelter, but the rescue organizations who come in are also just so overwhelmed. And I think people are always saying, take this more, take one more. And having to say no is traumatic.
Absolutely. Heartbreaking. I know that all of that, every no they've had to say for whatever reason stays with them. And people don't realize that. You realize you've saved some, but the ones you couldn't or didn't even see, that's always going to stay with them. And I know it motivates a lot of people, but it also makes it what's hard for people to keep going.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I've seen some smaller rescues locally have to step back and not do it for a little while, just because there are no fosters or there are no adopters. But just by everybody listening to this and sharing and hearing your stories, hopefully it will inspire someone to take action that will have a ripple effect. And that's what we all want.
My favorite terminology for that is we need to continue to hold hands across the world. And there are many ways that we can step in to help. And we can all be part of it. I'll be part of the team. Doesn't need to only be the people who are on the front line or who work for an organization or who volunteer. Everybody can help. Everybody can be a voice.
Absolutely. I think that's a great place to end. That we can all do our part, whatever that part may be for us, where we live, what we have access to. There is a part for us all to play in order to make it better. I just want to thank you, Lori, so much for being here. It was a pleasure to meet you, to learn more about you and your own life and where you've come from and how you were inspired into animal rescue and welfare, but also to learn really more specifically about the work that SPCA International is doing and how important it is and how we all need to support it, because we're going to need it even more as we keep moving forward in this crazy world we're living in.
Yes, thank you so much. I appreciate your thoughtful questions and you joining our team, because you bringing me on to speak with you about this also creates the awareness. So hopefully everybody's still listening by this time, and I hope they share this podcast. And I just really appreciate the opportunity to be involved at SPCA International.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoyed the second part of our conversation, hearing more about the incredible programs that SPCA International has and how they support our military women and men, both here and abroad, as well as help those in embattled areas where active war and other types of violence are happening, and they're helping to keep animals safe and be able to be reunited with their family. I think there was so much important information to be heard in this episode as well as in the previous. I hope you've learned some new things. You can follow the podcast, you can follow SPCA International and keep up on the different programs that are going on here and abroad. You can do your part, whether it's by sharing or donating, volunteering your own time in your local community. Remember, fostering and adoption are needed so much right now, so please help to advocate and educate others in those areas. Keep sharing the podcast wherever you are listening to this right now. Please follow so you don't miss an episode. Rate and review so that the podcast gets pushed out to more people and can hear this important information. As always, I appreciate you all so much, my listeners, my friends, and my fellow animal lovers, for listening, supporting, sharing, and being here on this journey to help to advocate and educate as many as possible, and ultimately to help as many animals in our own local community and around the world that we can. Until next time, my friends, thank you again for being here.